Well, welcome to presentation. So a father and daughter and son were going fishing. And they got out to the dock on this farm pond that had not been fished in years. And the father promptly handed the son a worm. And he put the worm on his fishing pole. It's up there. And the little girl looked over at him. "Dad, who would want to eat a worm? What did the worm do? Doesn't God love worms?" The dad, who actually was a minister, was stumped. They hadn't taught him how to answer the question, "Doesn't God love worms?" But the little girl held up her hook. She said, "Dad, look, it's nice and shiny. If I was a fish, I would love this. I will just fish with this hook." So she went fishing with her hook. And on the other side of the dock, her brother was there reeling in one bluegill after another. And she ogled his fish as they flopped on the dock. And a little bit later, she was on her side of the dock, mournfully peering down into the water at her empty hook. Her dad said, "What's wrong?" "So you gave him the lucky pole." Her dad said, "Don't you understand that the difference is what's on the hook?" She said, "But Dad, worms are gross." Then she stopped and thought a little bit. She said, "Wait, Dad, do fish like worms?" "Well, they do." And that's an important thing for you to understand. As a teacher, what is interesting to you might not be interesting to your students. What is the purpose of a presentation? Why do stores bother making things look beautiful? What's the point?
Sell their product.
Sell. They want to sell something. What are you trying to sell as a teacher? You've got something to sell. What are you selling? Okay, I've got some news for you all. If you are going to walk into a classroom and not have a clue what you're trying to sell to these people, you're going to have a problem. What are you trying to sell to these children?
Information.
Information is power, right? We'll hear that a lot. You are empowering these people. You are giving them worms on their hooks so they can catch fish. That's gross to you. It's life sometimes. All right? Today, we are going to identify three steps in every presentation. And in fact, these three steps are a part of almost every communication that ever happens. What are they? Today, I want to enable you. I want to empower you to catch your students. And I'm going to tell you, it's harder than you think. All right, there are three parts to every presentation. There is the bait. This is the introduction. It's like when you answer the phone and you say hello, right? The point of an introduction is to get people's attention. It is like that shiny car in the car lot. Why do automakers paint cars with nice shiny paint, put chrome on them? Does it help the car run any better? No. Mechanically, it has nothing to do with the car. It is to sell the car. But the only thing that it does is get your attention. The next part is the bite. We might call this the explanation. This is where you are explaining to the students what this information is and how they're going to be able to use it. This is like the test drive in a car, where the person actually experiences this new vehicle and all its wonderful buttons and gadgets and so on. The point of an explanation is to keep the student's attention. And then comes the catch. This is the application. This is where we say, "So, tomorrow, you'll be able to," whatever, diagram hyperboles. So, by the way, that's not that hard. This is like The situation when the salesman hands you the keys to that brand new car, and it's yours. You drive out of the car lot. You are guiding the student's attention. Our takeaway for this afternoon is that the teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn. For a criminal to get a reduced sentence, he must own his crime. If you walk into the courtroom and you say, I have, the lawyer says, you were convicted of drinking with a hot cup of coffee in your hand, and while doing so, hitting your neighbor's dog and turning it into dog burger. And you say, well, no, actually, it was a hot cup of tea. Is the judge going to reduce your sentence? No! He wants you to say, yes, I'm so sorry, it was my fault. I was completely in the wrong, and I will purchase a new mechanical dog that can be driven over and won't die, and so on. You must own your crime. If you want a reduced sentence in the courtroom, you've got to own it. A quote by a man named Patrick White, I forget what I was taught. I only remember what I learned. And there's a person or two in this classroom who were in my classroom, and I can guarantee they don't remember everything I said in school. But they remember what they learned. I hope they learned enough so that they can walk into a classroom and teach themselves. A very powerful statement that I'm going to say and then qualify, but I want you to remember. And that is that if they aren't learning, you aren't teaching. I'm not teaching. I can make an ever so wonderful presentation, and if it does not soak into your minds, we all wasted our time. And the same goes for you in your classroom. If they aren't learning, you're not teaching. The only measurement for your teaching is the understanding in your students. So to teach, the teacher must cause the student to learn. The teacher is responsible if the student is not learning. The teacher controls the subject, right? We choose which subject we're talking about. He controls, or she controls, the style. And hopefully, the teacher controls the speaker, right? Therefore, the teacher has not only the ability, but also the responsibility to change the subject, improve the style, and inspire the speaker to equip the student to learn. Now, Jesus was the master teacher, right? Did all of his students learn? No. Now, that being said, I don't want you all coming back to WFTNX here and saying, I had a room full of Judases and not one of them performed. Thank you for giving me that out. Nah, that's not okay. But 3 steps forward and 2 steps backward is very normal progress for students and people in general. A pluses are rare. Judases do happen in our classroom. Once again, that statement, if they aren't learning, you're not teaching, is like me saying that paper always burns, particularly if you have something that actually starts a fire. So if I hold this to this, will it start on fire?
Yes.
Okay. They just said that paper always burns. Right? Paper always burns. It doesn't. All right. So, once again, I'm trying to minimize your guilt. If you have a student who does not learn, get help. Don't use excuses, please. All right. To teach, the teacher must not only present new concepts and processes, but also change the way students think and the way they respond to life. To teach is to improve the life of the one being taught. To teach is to cause the student to recreate in their understanding a new idea or truth. To teach is to cause the student to apply the knowledge and then to apply it some more. How do we get a student to apply a new concept? Well, first, you have to get the student's attention. How do you do that? We're going to talk about the bait or the introduction. We'll be using the story of Jesus and the woman at the well this afternoon. Your introduction must appeal to your group of people. That is the first blank there. You must get their attention. Sell yourself. Jesus did this. That lady came walking up to the well, and Jesus said, "Give me to drink." They were right at a well. She was already thirsty. Have any of you been wondering about stuff on the board? I hope. Okay, part of that was to get your attention. I was trying to get you thirsty here. Dress for success. If you are teaching lower grades, please dress in bright colors. My clothes would be horrible for teaching first or second graders. Okay. However, if you're teaching the upper graders, you may find them challenging your authority less if you wear some darker colors. I'm not joking. It can actually work that way. So, dress for success. Use active posture. Stand as much as possible or kneel. If I want to get something across to this young man, I may get up very close to him and talk and get down on his level. That is okay. Those are active postures. The absolutely worst possible position for you to be in is seated. If you are seated, please put lots of miles on the wheels of your seat. Okay? Make eye contact. Approximately 2 seconds per person. Longer than that usually starts making the person feel like they're being singled out and there's unfair. I'm sorry, ma'am. Move. Walk. Gesture. People are engaged by moving objects. Tyler, when you go deer hunting, what do you not do if a deer is looking at you? Why? Children do the same thing. But you want them to see you and spook. Because you want their attention. Okay? Smile. Please. Derek is excellent at this. He's not here, so I can brag about how good he is at smiling while he talks. Watch it the next time he talks. And try to count how many times he can smile in 45 minutes. You'll lose count, I can almost guarantee. All right? So, that being said, for me to change the way you think, I have to make you practice. Actually, I get to! So the back row can stand up and smile at everyone. Please, everyone else, turn around and look at them. You all may stand and smile big, broad smiles. Excellent job, everyone. Clap for them. Good job! You're on your way to becoming excellent teachers. Invite your students. Use welcoming body language. Welcoming body language, by the way, involves moving the elbows away from the torso. I have noticed an odd thing among many Anabaptist people that they can gesture while never moving their elbows. All right, so rather than that, go ahead and extend your arms away from your body. Feel relax. If you'll notice, my body language is much more relaxed, just simply by removing the elbow from the torso. It's that simple. So, the second row will get to demonstrate this. Please just stand up, smile, and extend your hand like this. Everyone may look at them. Excellent job! Yes! Good job! We could clap for them, too. Good. Reassure. A smoking flax. Your students want to know that they're doing the right thing. When they do, give them lots of affirmation and so on. So front row, you may stand, turn around, smile, and extend your hands towards everyone. Excellent job! Let's all give them a hand! We are reassuring people that they are doing the right thing. Okay, sell your subject. It's the next thing. Jesus started with water. What had the woman at the well come to the well to get? What was she after?
Water.
Water. And so Jesus said, "Give me to drink." And she says, you're a Jew. Why are you asking me for a drink? Stir curiosity. Jesus didn't even have a jug. Anyone notice the math problem on the board up there? And does anyone notice an object on the teacher's desk that has anything to do with the math problem on the board? What does this have to do with that?
The volume of an orange?
Close. What is the formula for the area of a circle?
Pi times radius squared.
Pi times radius squared. If we take this orange, chop it in half, and cut a piece of paper that fits across this circle four times, it will cover the outside of the orange. 4 pi times radius squared equals the surface area of any sphere because of that law. Very, very simple. But we made you curious, right? Hopefully. Use the board, please. Write on the board. Talk about it. Does anyone recognize what this might be? So what it is, my friend Rico from the Philippines is building a house, right? It is 60 feet long, 40 feet wide. He's supposed to be placing a post every 10 feet, and we're trying to figure out how many posts he needs for his house. And we could do that by using that diagram, except for the fact there's something wrong with that diagram. I hope you figured it out. Use objects without explaining them. So what is the banana for? Oh, we'll get to that later. Use stories without ending them. So when I was about 20, I had a spreader rig. We lived on a turkey farm at the top of a huge hill with a T-junction at the bottom. And one day I left the farm with the truck loaded. It weighed about 20 tons when it was loaded. Popped over the top of the hill, hit the brake pedal, and it went all the way to the floor. Use pictures without explaining them. And anybody know what this picture is? No, it is, it's actually very easy. See, this is my friend Rico. Okay, good job. Y'all got it right. Use misquotes, but make them obvious because students enjoy connecting the teacher. So Sally is making cookies, and she's adding 2 cups of salt and 3 cups of flour. And ladies?
2 cups of salt.
Oh, what do you think it probably should have been?
2 teaspoons,
sure. Yeah, and see, notice how much students love to connect the teacher and so on. So students like to connect the teacher. Thank you, thank you. Okay, heads down, thumbs up, no peeking allowed. Seriously, heads down, thumbs up. No peeking. Everybody, heads down, thumbs up, eyes closed. What is the capital of Hawaii? What's the capital of Oklahoma City? I got you. Okay, keep going. Heads down, thumbs up, no peeking yet. What is the capital of Bangladesh?
Dhaka.
Excellent. Good job. What is the number one product of Kansas?
Corn.
Close. Try again.
Wheat.
Thank you. Heads up. Seven up. And the next thing that you're supposed to do is occasionally do something that no one is expecting before they are expecting it, of course. All right? I hope I'm getting some in the back there. I don't want everybody to miss out. All right. Children love that. Occasionally, it shouldn't happen every day, but you know, once is a great one. Now, while I've got your attention, use sizzle. I need a very brave young lady from the second row. So one of you young ladies willing to volunteer? Sure, come on up here. All right, this brave young lady will assist me in a breathtaking science experiment. Please stand off to the side here, right in front of these gentlemen. Actually, you could even come around the teacher's desk. That'd be fine. All right, now this is a typical bottle of Mountain Dew. I have done nothing to it. Now you will take some raisins and drop them in the Mountain Dew. Right. Everyone hold your breath. Excellent, that's good. That's good. You may return to your seat. Don't get too worried. Now, wait a minute. What's going on there? What is our takeaway for today? The teacher is
responsible to cause the student to learn.
Very good. I can teach you about this later. Build need. Jesus talk to this lady who came. She was thirsty. She wanted something to drink. And he said, if you would ask me for a drink, I would give you living water that would be springing up out of you for everlasting. Teach your students the value of what you're talking about. For example, one year in science, we were talking about rust. And I taught my students very, very thoroughly about how you put metal and water and everything rusts. And the next year, prior to the school term, the school board very kindly shampooed our rug. And the next day, we brought all the metal dust in and sat them on top of a nice, wet carpet. And you can imagine what we were scrubbing out of the carpet for the rest of the school term. We didn't have to talk about rust. They all knew. Give them examples of things in history. For example, does anyone know what Alexander Graham Bell and his assistant, Watson, actually did for a living before they invented the telephone? See, this is something you should know. Because they were teachers. They taught deaf people. And the telephone was actually originally invented to help deaf people. The rest of us get to benefit from it. Your students should get those little extra tidbits. That won't happen your first year. Don't expect to do a lot of that. But as you have opportunity, look those little extra things up. That's what can bring a lesson to life. Display the value of what you're teaching. Sisters, if you're teaching your lower graders math facts and they keep going, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, you can tell them the story of the little boy who got his fingers in the lawnmower and lost them all. What would you do then? Or you could ask them what they would do if they grow up to become a busy mama and they're carrying their grocery bags and somebody needs to ask them a question that involves doing math. You're going to have to overcome that. Describe the need. For example, when you're talking to students about the way that moist objects react with cold metal, I would not recommend demonstrating the tongue, but you could tell them a story about it so that they don't do that. Those of you who have lived in places that are cold enough to have cold metal and wet tongues, you'll know what I'm talking about. Direct students to watch or listen for things. For example, have any of you gone outside in the evening this week yet to watch the meteor showers? How many of you knew that the Perseid meteor showers are happening right now? Excellent! Okay. This evening, if you get a chance after dark, step outside and look west. That's all you have to do. You should be able to see a meteor probably within the first 5 minutes of watching. That's how good it typically is. Okay. So, do that for your students. Or, like I challenged you to do with Derek, challenge your students to watch a preacher that you know has a certain skill and say, next Sunday, watch for how often he does this. And they can learn from other people. Sell your introduction. My introduction today included a takeaway. And so I'm going to have the third row now. Go ahead and stand. You will smile, extend your arms, and recite our takeaway for this afternoon. So please go ahead with that.
The teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn.
Good job! Very good. Memorize the first few lines. When your students come up to the class table, don't be there trying to figure out where you're supposed to be in your book. Try to have a question ready for them as soon as they get there. Once again, make eye contact with them. A teacher who is looking at you as you're sitting down has got your attention far better than the one who's staring at their book. Monitor student focus. Command versus demand their attention. There is an acronym called FOMO, where the teacher does something that is so interesting on a regular basis that the students have a fear of missing out. That's FOMO. They're so scared that you're going to do something so interesting that they don't want to miss it, that they will be watching to see what happens next. Okay, make it personal. For example, if Conrad here is raising dogs, And he needs to trim their toenails. And he has 20 puppies. How many toenails does he have to trim? He has puppies and so on. He will be very interested in this and want to contribute to that conversation. And you must present it until they bite it. Sometimes you have to come from a different angle for different students. Not everyone learns the same way. There are four basic methods of learning. There are those who want to do something. They don't feel like they've learned anything until they're up at the board or you've given them something in their hand. They're the one who wants to be dropping the raisins in the Mountain Dew, right? They want to do something. There are those who want to talk. They just love that interaction. They live for when you ask, does anyone have a question? You know, they're ready. They've got it there. There are those who want to read. They will act like you are the most uninteresting thing during class time because they already know the answer. They read it. They love just sitting there looking at the book and getting the answer. And it's okay. They still need to come to class. But there are students who enjoy that. And then there are those who see. These are the ones who, when they come up to the class table and open their history books, they're looking at all the pictures. And they don't have a clue what was going on, but they like those pictures. Right? Right. Those are the four basic types. You need to study your students to know which of those four types of learners you're dealing with and try to hit each class accordingly. If you've got a class that has a doer, a talker, and a seer, well, make sure that those are the three methods you're using to teach and that you actually catch each of them. Use lecture. For example, a polygon is any shape we can make with straight lines. So once upon a time, I was trying to make a polygon. I didn't quite finish it, and my pet pig Polly was gone the next day. All right, cheers. There you go. That's lecture. I'm just telling you a story. I did draw a little diagram there. Use discussion. So how many of you like chocolate? Good. I hope some of you got something. All right. And use visual aids. For example, ducks, like the duck blossoms. Some of you will be using those. You can use posters on your walls. Gravel from the parking lot can be used to teach addition, subtraction, division, multiplication. Children love something they can get a hold of. Use the five senses. Why did God make bananas?
To eat.
To eat? Yes. He also made them for tools for teachers. I need four volunteers. Thank you. Thank you. Two gentlemen, please step up here. I need two ladies, too. Step up here in the front, please, and face the audience. All right, you two, right there. Come on, please. Sure. I was pointing at you and the lady that right beside you there. Please. Please. Pocket it. There you go. Now, the banana was created by God for the purpose of teaching fractions. All right? I will first hand each of you a napkin. If they can. Now, you all must work together with me. This is one what banana?
Whole.
One whole banana. All right, we will cut it in the center. Now, each of these is one
half.
All right, we will cut it again. Each of these is one
quarter.
Very good. I will hand those to you. Can you begin? You may begin peeling those. Now, I hope you all are familiar enough with the banana to know that God divided it into how many parts?
Three.
So once you have them peeled, please divide each of your individual pieces into those three parts. Are you familiar with how to do that? You can either squeeze the outside or sometimes insert your finger in the end a little bit. Yeah. If you can kind of, if you look at the end, yeah, you can see it. Squeeze it a little bit and it should kind of
separate.
Yeah, just like that. Yep, good job. All right, now notice Tyler has his in three parts. We're gonna use him because he's finished for us. What is each of those parts? 1/12. Very good. So we will have Tyler and Conrad each eat one piece. Score, Tyler. Good job. Now, how much of the banana is left?
10/12.
10/12. Can we reduce that fraction?
5/6.
5/6. Thank you. Now, ladies, you may each eat one piece. Now how much of the banana is left?
3/4
Close.
2/3
2/3 Thank you. Very good. Now, would you eat one piece? How much of the banana is left?
7/12
7/12 Yes. Excellent. Good job. And now, Conrad, would you eat one piece?
Yeah.
Sorry, we made it complicated for it. Now, how much of the banana is left?
Half.
Half. Very good. Let's clap for all of them. You may sit back down. I hope you have another object that is excellent for teaching fractions is the phenomenally useful Hershey's bar. And for those of you who enjoy chocolate, you have my permission to come up here after the class, break off a piece, and think about fractions as you choose. Okay, very good. Students have five senses, five gateways into their minds. Use all five. Their sense of smell. Those of you who were eating the bananas, your sense of touch, your sense of smell, your sense of taste, your sense of sight were all being used. And of course, I was talking to you, so we were using your sense of hearing. That's all five. Every time you can do that, do it. Too often, we try to teach students by using only their eyes and their ears. Don't do that. If you watch children try to learn in the yard or the barnyard or the parking lot, they will pick things up and hold them in their hands. They will pull things up and sniff them, and if it passes the sniff test, it'll go in their mouth. Okay. Use your imagination. You can pretend. Use someone's name. So Everett was climbing Mount Everest, and he was using an Ever-Ready battery. And so, anyway. Tell a story. We use that with Polly. Or does anyone know what this is?
Cat.
Actually, it is the most important sentence part. Every sentence has a subject and a pretty cat. All right, the bite or explanation. Jesus revealed the spiritual. He was talking about the natural, talking about water, and then he switches to the real thing. So this must be tied to as many known facts as possible. All right, you have to keep these students' attention. You've got their attention, and now you've got to keep their attention. So use review. Start most lessons with something that the students already know. So, for example, what was Derek's main point yesterday? For those of you who were here. Anyone? The most important thing for doctors, pilots, and teachers is?
Preparation.
And preparation. Very good. Right. You're supposed to know that. Known facts. So if all Quitchels are Shipes and some Shipes are Zortes, are all Quitchels Zortes?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but somebody, it would be much easier if I said if all Jerseys are cows and some cows are Holsteins, are all Jerseys Holsteins, right? Suddenly it was, duh. You know, we have to speak in terms the students get. Students' level of mastery, you must start with their known to go to the unknown. Jaden is going to talk about that tomorrow, Lord willing. Use the student, name them. So Lydia is in a race with Usain Bolt, and she knows that she's going to have to really practice a lot and use some stilts or something to gain an advantage. And we've got her attention because we just threw her name in there. Right? Use a student's home life. So Myron's pet rattlesnake escaped from its home and slid up into his sister's room to warm itself up. And the sister's room was evacuated very quickly. All right, use their toys. If you want a young child's attention, start talking about bikes, right? They're not going to be ready to talk about cars yet. Use their chores. For example, washing dishes. Sarah needs to wash 1/4 of the 500 supper dishes. She really needs to know how much because as soon as she's done with that, her brother has to finish. Use the board. All right. We're going to have a volunteer come up and diagram two words. Lecture number three. Anybody like to diagram sentences? We'll choose you. Diagram cause learning. Cause learning. You see, he will get more out of this than you will because he's actually practicing. at the bar. He got to be up there. So it's a Jaren, so he needs to go up on a pedestal.
Perfect.
Excellent. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you.
Good job. Good job.
Use pictures. Simple, but with explanations. So, for example, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's that easy. Okay? Psalm 1 in pictures, that's only the first few verses, but you can keep going. Tree that lives, you know, beside the rivers of water and so on. Use objects. What celestial object could we represent with an orange? Because it is also bumpy and has pits in the outside and does not produce any of its own light. The moon. Thank you. And, you know, half of an orange is a quarter moon. And so on. There you go. It's that easy. All right. Use figurative speech. If a student is trying to figure out what something is, they will ask you, what is it
like?
Tell them. Well, it's like a chicken with an alligator's tail or something like that, whatever. Use examples. So Joe's making candles for $10 a piece, and she needs to mark them up to sell them at a store. She's going to mark them up 15%. What's the new price going to be? And so on. Must be reeled in. Limited. Jesus did this with the woman at the well. She said, oh, I want this living water. Ah, yeah, you know what? Go call your husband.
I don't have a husband.
Yeah, that's right. You had five. And the one you're with right now, you're not even married to. And so on. A friend of mine's child got a hold of a screwdriver and disassembled the lawnmower. He needed to know what to do with that screwdriver. Another friend's daughter found a seam ripper and wreaked havoc in the closet. Students need to know what to do. Information is power, but it needs to be steered the right direction. Demonstrate the process. For example, math often needs to be demonstrated. You need to show them how to diagram a sentence. Or art projects. I mean, math. How to do long division or something like that. Many art projects, the teacher needs to show the students before they can do it. Show them what to do, how to do it, and let them guess the why if you can. Lead your students. Have problems for the students to attempt or discuss. Involve the students. All right, so I'm going to have Marvin and, let's see, Micah and, would you come up here too, please? You three young men, please line up in front of the board. We have a sentence here that we're going to demonstrate by using, turn with your backs toward the board, please. We're going to demonstrate the sentence, Tom hit Dan. So this is Tom, this is hit, the predicate, and this is the direct object, Dan. Now, if Tom goes ahead and hits Dan, go ahead, Tom.
No.
That's the predicate, you have to hit that one. Yes, there we go. Okay, very good. Now, Dan understands and feels what it's like to be a direct object. The direct object receives the action, right? You receive that he's the receiver. And there you go. Student gets to experience the sentence rather than just being told that that's what happens. You may be seated. Thank you, gentlemen. Master the irreducible minimum. You'll notice that when I had this young man diagram for us, I didn't have him diagram the entire takeaway, but just two words. If you can't remember anything else from this topic, please remember cause learning. Repeat after me. Cause learning. It's your job as a teacher, right? Make it bite-sized. Students have a God-given attention span of approximately 1 minute per year of life, which means mine is about 44 minutes long. So your first graders will come prepackaged with about a six, seven minute attention span. That doesn't mean that they can only work on a project for 6 or 7 minutes. What it does mean is that you need to change gears. So for example, if they're working on math, you might want to tell them, just do this page. When they get that done, then you need to do the next page. Even though they're still doing the whole lesson, you're giving it to them in bite-sized pieces. List the main points and try to make it 3 or fewer in any given lesson. If you're trying to teach more than 3 main things, you'll lose them. It's that simple. Give a takeaway, and the shorter, the better. For example, rather than saying that a noun is a word that names a person, place, thing, or idea, when you are first teaching nouns, just say noun's name. Okay? That's easier. Shorter. Bite size. Must be netted or grassed. For example, if you're teaching compound interest, talk to your students about credit cards. Show them that this is where this applies. It's very, very scary. Teach to satisfy the student's needs. Jesus filled this lady's need. Teach them until the lights come on, until the student is struck with the idea, until the student is working the concept. So, you may all stand and practice our takeaway for today by smiling and extending your arm.
The teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn.
You may be seated. The third portion here is the catch, the application. The point of teaching, of giving students information, is to equip them for service. The Bible says that the Word of God is suitable, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. That's what we're trying to do. This woman was so excited about what Jesus told her that when she was done talking with him, she left her water pot. She never got a drink. She took off running. And she told everybody in the town of Sychar, "Behold, a man who told me everything that I ever did. Isn't this the Christ?" Her life was irreversibly changed because of what she had learned. Students must practice what we've taught them. Balance the application, or what you're supposed to do in a lesson, with the information, what you need to know to do the lesson. So typically in a class, I would recommend that you talk to your students for approximately half of the class and have them doing things at the board for the other half, if at all possible. For example, math, English lessons, so on. Whenever you can have them doing something. So working equals learning. Who's responsible to make sure that's happening?
Teacher.
The teacher. But is the teacher supposed to do all the work? No, the teacher is responsible to make sure. If working equals learning, then the teacher must make sure who is working. The student. That's right. Repetition equals learning. What is the takeaway?
The teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn.
We'll get in there. Applying equals learning. We can keep saying that the teacher is responsible to cause the student to learn, but until you shoulder that responsibility and you go home and you teach your first day of school and Sally does not know that "a" is an "a", then you lie awake at night and you think, what do I have to do to get this through her mind? Because it's my responsibility to do that. Okay? That's what we're talking about. The more realistic, the better. Connect this lesson to the students' lives. The more it supplies their needs, the better. Many of you probably learned things in school you thought, I'll never need this in life. And then later on you found out, oh, yeah, I did. Someone should have tried to help you make that connection. And so on. For example, we'll go off to the side for a moment here. How many of you feel
like, you know how to use commas.
Oh, yeah, good.
Okay, so where does this sentence need a comma or another punctuation mark?
Followed after the woman, a comma after her.
A colon after
woman.
Woman. And a comma after her?
Yes.
Okay, a woman. Without her, man is nothing. You're taking the safe route here.
After man.
We won't go there because we're outnumbered up here. All right. How about in this sentence?
Where do we need commas? How many people went fishing?
Remember that one. From the south.
Say what?
Is it from the south or not?
I was born and raised in Southwest Missouri. So where do we need commas? Don't be shy. It's okay. We're learning together here.
After Joe.
After Joe.
After Bob.
After Bob.
John.
John.
Bing.
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 Rose.
Rose.
Alan. Alan.
Peachy.
After Peachy. And not here?
Yeah. After John's.
Here. Another one?
Just everywhere.
Okay, now, you all got really close. You actually did better than a lot of the classes who did this. But you have to remember that I am from the South, and some of you might know John Smucker, whose wife's name is Laura, and we are used to Anabaptist places, right, where you have John and Laura, right? and Big Rose, and John Allen, and they're the guy who usually gets peaches in our community is called Peachy Joe. And the guy down the road was, you know, Billy Joe Jimbob. How about this one? This is a grammatically incorrect sentence because the idea is cannibalistic.
After eat.
After eat. Now, there's a story behind this one. So, my wife is in here, and I can pretend that this actually happened. It didn't. But, you know, so my paychecks were disappearing rather quickly. And one morning I wrote on the refrigerator this sentence. And I came home, and the paycheck was gone again. And that was what was on the fridge. So, it must be corrected. How many of you are looking forward to checking your students' lessons? Everyone's just... Sorry, folks, but that is a part of teaching. Jesus did this with the woman at the well. He did it gently. When she said, "I don't have a husband," Jesus said, "Yeah, you're telling the truth there." Give constructive criticism charitably. Jesus told her, "We want you to worship God in spirit and in truth, rather than living the sinful life you're living." A lot of students to struggle a little bit. You did that with these commas up here. You struggled a little along with me. Use challenge. You know, Joshua did this. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Elijah's on Mount Carmel. He said, "Whoever's on the Lord's side." So, you may stand to your feet if you desire, with God's help, to cause learning in the lives of your students this year. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It must be reviewed. Typically, a student needs to repeat something approximately 8 times before they know it. So without looking at your papers, can you repeat the takeaway for me, Dave?
The responsibility.
You had the idea. Don't feel bad back there. That was right. You were good. Present jingles or acronyms. For example, define the distance, divide. The D and D makes it easy for a student to remember something like that. Add extra facts. How many of you know about how old Conrad Grebel and his compatriots were in the Reformation?
20s or 30s?
The oldest of them was 27 years old. Okay. They were all dead by the time they were my age. What a challenge for young people, right? These people we tend to look up to, often they're pictured as older people like me. They weren't. They were young people. Drill the hard parts. Warn your students about pitfalls. So, for example, in diagramming. Warn them not to put adjectives up on the line, right? Something like that. Derek is going to do this tomorrow morning when he talks to you about the pitfalls of teaching. Review the directions. Ask them, do you understand? And be aware that many of them will nod their heads, even when they don't. Repeat the takeaway. Jesus did this with the lady at the well. He said, I am he. Several times, I am he. I am the Christ. So we need to repeat the takeaway one more time.
The teacher
is responsible to cause the student to learn.
Not every school day should feel like this class. In fact, if you would do that, your students would be quite overstimulated. However, I do hope that you have learned some valuable tools that will help your students throughout this year. Now, at the bottom of your handout, you should have some blanks to fill in. We will fill those in quickly. What is the bait? Also known as the
introduction.
The purpose is
get their attention.
To get their attention. And the bite.
Explanation.
And the purpose of that is
keep their attention.
And then the catch.
Application.
Application and the purpose.
Guide
their attention. And the takeaway, the teacher
is responsible to cause the student to learn.
And do you feel like you learned?
Thank you.